Before we actually go to the scriptures, I would like to say that tonight we're going to be in Psalms a lot. And when it comes to the book of Psalms, a lot of times there'll be a little blurb under the chapter that says a Psalm of David or a Psalm of Asaph. Those are not necessarily accurate. It's not the purpose of what we're going to, of our study tonight, to look at what Psalms correlate to things that went on in David's life. But the only time Bollinger did work on it, and a lot of people have done work on it, but the only time we truly know who penned a particular psalm is when the scriptures say who penned that particular psalm. And, you know, there are books in the Bible that we have no idea who penned them, like Hebrews, Job. So you can always look at a psalm and see things in it that correlate with things that happened in 1 Kings, etc., etc., but that doesn't mean that the person in 1 Kings was the actual person that penned it. So it's if you see all that, don't, like, just obliterate that when you see it in the Word, okay? When you see it in your Bible, not in the Word, in your Bible. Because the only way we know for sure is if the scriptures say, you know, like, in the New Testament, David's referred to many times, Solomon's referred to, different things, but we don't know who wrote those actual psalms. So with that in mind, okay, because that's like a whole topic in and of itself. Holy smokes, to look at all that. But tonight, God bless you, we're going to look at keeping or guarding our hearts. And last time we ended in Proverbs 4:20 through 23, and I'd like to look at that again. And it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And keep is to guard, and diligence means to guard, like in a prison, or we've heard the example of a citadel, a big fort. So we're supposed to guard our hearts, for out of it are the issues of life. In one concordance, it's some of the definitions. It's quite interesting. Issues of life means the source of life. Out of it is the source of life, and it's also the escape from death. So we see that we're to incline ourselves and attend to the words of God, to put that into our hearts, and then to guard it. We guard it. Okay, in Matthew chapter 6, familiar verses of Scripture. There's an Orientalism here that we're going to look at. Matthew 6, verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In the East, in ancient times, the houses were made out of clay bricks. And it was very easy for thieves to break into a house. So the Eastern man would take his valuable things, his gold, his silver, perhaps garments that were valuable, and put them into a clay trunk, clay box, and bury it. And he would tell no one where it was, except for before he died, he would usually tell his son where it was buried. He put it in the clay trunk so that the moth couldn't get to it, and so that things didn't rust, to protect it. But this treasure, he would always worry about it. He would worry if somebody was going to get it, if somebody was going to find it. See, that's where his treasure was. That's, and his heart followed. Our treasure is the Word of God and the will of God and the relationship that we have with God. plus so many things as we see throughout the New Testament. We're not to be like the ancient Eastern man, where his heart is so concerned over his treasure, which is a physical thing. Okay, so let's go to Psalm 62, and we're pretty much going to stay in Psalms now. Psalm 62. So we don't put our treasure in is not in the physical realm. And God even says here in 62 verse 10 about if riches increase, if you end up with more riches. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. We are not to set, we know we're not to trust in the arm of flesh. We know we're not to set our affection, we're to have set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And even if we have prosperity in our lives as God would want us to have, that's still not our, that's not our gig. That's not our treasure. That's not our thing. They are just things. Okay, in Psalm 33, we're going to read this whole psalm. You know, it's interesting in Matthew 6, I didn't mention this, where it says, lay not up treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. Lay up and treasures are the same word. Like where you got this thing for your things. Isn't that something? So, okay, Psalm 33 and verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right. That's what we put in our hearts. And all his works are done in truth. We think about those works that he's done. That's what we put in our heart. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We put it in our hearts. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants in the world of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That is that word that we put into our hearts, what God has spoken. He is so great, and all the world should stand in awe of him, particularly us. We should stand in awe of him. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and he makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. God doesn't change, it says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. His truth never changes. His truth is the truth, and his counsel are the thoughts of his heart. We would be fools not to receive his counsel. The thoughts of God's heart, right? The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. He's not going anywhere. He's not changing. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let's see. His own inheritance. The Lord looks from the heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. There's no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that respect him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. We put that kind of thing in as our treasure. going to see that, well, let's just look at it, Psalm 15. A couple of years ago, Wesley shared on mumbling to yourself, about speaking to yourself in your own mind, and it was the word mumble, you know, where you just keep telling yourself the word. And it was such a sweet idea. God knows we talk to ourselves, so he tells us what to tell ourselves. And it is his counsel that stands for all generations that we're to tell ourselves. And his counsel are the thoughts of his heart. And we don't trust in riches. We don't trust in horses. You know, that's not our gig. Not our gig. In 15:1 it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth where? In his heart. So we speak those wonderful things of God in our own hearts to ourselves. In Psalm 37. Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So his mouth speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment, and the law of God is in his heart. He had to put it in there. We have to put it in. Nobody does it for us. It's our responsibility. It's also our decision whether to do that or not. God doesn't, you know, possess people and make them think his word. You know, this, hey, I want to tell you the thoughts of my heart. You know, just look at Ephesians. Okay, now memorize it and say it over and over and over like a mantra until you get it into your heart. And then you... God doesn't work like that. We know that. Psalm 40, verse 8. Here the psalmist says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Within my heart. In 49, verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. What is wisdom and understanding? God's word has all wisdom and understanding for us. It's God's counsel. It's the thoughts of his heart. So that's what we're to think. In Psalm 19. Verse 7. In the first part of the chapter, it talks about the stars and how powerfully God put everything into motion with the stars and how beautiful it all is. And then in verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's me. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or respect of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let not them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Now look at this verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. All those things that list the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. You can't go wrong with it. And the psalmist prayed, and God had him write it down, that he prayed this, that his meditation of his heart would be acceptable. His words and of his mouth and the meditation of his heart would be acceptable unto God. Right. Sometimes we need to pray, and we'll see that later, but we need to pray for help to guard our hearts, and God will help us. We put in there what God would have us put in there, and then we hold it tight no matter what. No matter what the cable guy says, or the Comcast guy, is it? Yeah, no matter what goes on, we hold it tight. In Psalm 101. Verse 1. Here again. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me up speedily. That's not right.
No.
That's not
101.
Right. 101. Sorry. Yeah. I will sing of mercy. Thank you very much. And judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. But when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And that's integrity of heart. So it's involved guarding our hearts. We speak. We put the truth in. We speak the truth. We hold the truth. We walk on the truth. We just, it's all one big package. Something goes along with this is having your heart fixed, and that's in Psalm 57. Well, it's several places, but Psalm 57. To have your heart fixed to mean that it's firmly established on something. So, Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusts in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. So whatever was going on, there was calamity. Calamity is not a good word. It's not like, oh, there's a birthday party, wear your pretty dress. Calamity is ugly. It's not pleasant. And the psalmist said that he would be in the shadow of the wings of God, be safe there. Till the calamity is gone. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. So if somebody wanted to swallow him up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Not a good situation. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. Which means consider this. Selah means consider this. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nation. For thy mercy is great unto thy heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. So this man was surrounded by calamity with the lions. People were trying to trap him, to have them fall like they had fallen. He was lying next to them that were on fire. I don't know what that means. I looked in Orientalisms, all different stuff. It's not pretty. Doesn't sound pretty. I don't know what it means, though. But those that their teeth were like spears, you know, they wanted to. It was all harmful stuff. And yet this man, his heart was fixed. His heart was fixed. He had to guard the truth that he had so that he could continue to sing unto God all these delightful things and to trust in God. My heart is fixed. Like I said, it means firmly established, and it's like in Genesis when God established the thing with Pharaoh when he was making known his will to Pharaoh about releasing the children of Israel. And that you can see in Genesis 41, he says that the thing was established. There was no way it was going to change. Well, that's how this man's heart was. There was no way he was going to give up what he had of God's word. He was, my heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. Psalm 108. It's the word K-U-W-N. Here it is again in verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. You know, these guys went through some pretty nasty stuff, and they decided to stay fixed. They had to guard their hearts. They had to have their hearts just set on what truth is, and that God was God, and that his counsel were the thoughts of his heart, and that God would make them safe. And they had to have their hearts set to walk perfectly, to have integrity. Psalm 112, it's again. Verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Here's why. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. Now, this word established is not that word, K-U-W-N. It's another one, kamek, I think it is. Let me see. Yeah, kamek. And it means to lean or lay or rest. So let's look at this again. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, firmly established, trusting in the Lord. His heart is leaning. Like resting, it's, right? When we have God's word, and we guard it, and we think it, we speak it, when it's really ours, and we don't let it go anywhere, no matter what comes up, we can lean on God. It's really just wonderful. Until he see, oh yeah, he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy. He'll wait to see that. He'll wait to see his enemies get a little butt kicking. So, okay, so then let's go to Psalm 119. That's a great psalm, the whole thing about putting truth into the brain and the heart. Great psalm. They're all great. But verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What a great reason, too, to take that word of God and put it in there and then guard it like crazy so as not to offend our Father who loves so much. In verse 80 of the same psalm, it says, so let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. To be sound, it means to be complete or whole or entire. My heart be complete, whole, or entire, so that I be not ashamed. Ashamed is interesting. It's rendered other ways. I'll just read you. I won't read the time, numbers of times it's rendered a certain way, but ashamed can also be found translated as confounded, shamed, confusion, delay, dry, long, shamed. So he had made his heart, he wanted his heart to be strong in the statutes of God so that he could be complete, whole, entire, and not be ashamed, dry, long. You know, there's always great joy and pleasantness with the word of God. And we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4 because we could spend days looking at the things in the New Testament and the things that God has done for us that we can put into our hearts and guard and hold on to. can't find Philippians, there it is. And, but we're going to look at this one section. Verse 6. Be careful, or, well, I'll just read it. I'll read it here, and then I want to read it to you in the working translation, okay? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I'm going to read you that section a little bit more out of the working translation. See and hear the prayer in the beginning to be, you know, not be anxious or concerned or distracted by things, but to go to God and the God of peace. He'll help guard our hearts. We just read it, but I'll let me read it in here. 4:6. Do not be distracted, anxious or distracted about anything. Okay. But in everything, by prayer and prayer request with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking, will protect your hearts and your thinking in Christ Jesus. Henceforth, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, consider these things. What things are good, honest, true? God's Word. Consider these things which you also learned and received and heard and saw in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And then Paul talks about himself here. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your thinking about me has flourished again, about what you were thinking, but you lacked an opportune time. I am not speaking in respect of lack, for I have learned to be self-sufficient in whatever state I am. I know how to be humbled. I also know how to be abundant. In and everything I have been initiated not only to be satisfied with food, but also to be hungry. Not only to be abundant, but also to lack. I prevail in all things by Him who empowers me. Paul had many situations in his life, like the psalmists, and he had to guard his heart. And no matter what, whether he had food or not food, sometimes you have riches, sometimes you don't. But that's not what our treasure is. Our treasure is the things of God. And we are most privileged because we have an understanding of truth, not a gigantic one, but we've got some understanding of truth. And we have a relationship with God Almighty. And boy, we can so protect that in our lives. Again, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And again, it's the issues of life, source of life, and escape from death. Makes sense. So, we'll guard our hearts, and next time, we're going to get into, you ever hear the saying, what goes up must come down? Yes, you've heard that. Well, we're going to have a little saying, what goes in comes out. What goes in our hearts comes out of our hearts. So we're going to see how that works. Okay, but, you know, we all know God's Word. We know what we need to believe doctrinally. We know where we need to change, where we don't need to change. We know the, how much we love God and we want to continue to love Him. And then we just hold on tight to that. We guard it like a prison, like a citadel. We just don't allow anything else to be our treasure. We want to spend our time dwelling on those things and speaking them and practicing them, walking perfectly like we saw in Psalms, with integrity, as opposed to being worried like the Eastern man was about his treasure. Okay? So